Chapter 10. The Red Riding Hood Kingdom. The subtle shakes of the paracart finally rocked Alex and Connor to sleep. If they hadn't been so exhausted from the previous restless night and eventful day, the shock of discovering the glass slipper in their possession would have kept them up all night. The next morning, they awoke just as the cart was arriving at the northern village it was destined for. The first thing Alex did when she awoke was to make sure the slipper was still in her tight grip, as it had been when she'd fallen asleep. She couldn't let go of it. She was afraid that if it wasn't in her hands at all times, it might disappear just as easily as it had appeared. The mystery of how it had gotten into her bag was still the most prominent thing on their minds. "Do you think it was magic?" Connor asked Alex. "Maybe the slipper knew we needed it and transported itself into your bag."
"I've read enough fantasy books to know that that's a possibility," Alex said. "And after everything we've been through, I wouldn't be surprised. But the point is, we have it now. It's one less item we have to collect, so let's focus all our energy into getting a hold of Red Riding Hood's basket."
She wrapped a blanket around the slipper for safekeeping and stored it in her bag. They didn't want any unwanted attention from carrying it around.
"I hope Cinderella or Lambton don't send soldiers after us once they realize it's gone," Connor said.
Alex hadn't thought about that. What if, as they were speaking, Lambton was putting together a band of soldiers to find them and take them into captivity?
"Then we'll tell him the truth and worry about it when it happens," Alex said. "But let's keep moving in the meantime."
There didn't appear to be any roads or paths on the map that went to the Red Riding Hood Kingdom, so the twins were forced to travel straight through a forest of elm trees to get there. Alex read from the journal as they walked.
"As everyone knows, the Red Riding Hood Kingdom is surrounded by a tall wall to keep out the wolves. There are guarded entrances into the kingdom along the perimeter of the wall.
So we'll find the wall, find an entrance, and be inside the kingdom in no time," Alex said.
"What if they don't let us inside?" Connor asked.
"I can't imagine why they wouldn't let us in," Alex said. "But if they don't, this time let me do the talking."
An hour or so of walking later, the twins could see the wall surrounding the kingdom in the distance. It was massive. It was 30 feet tall and made from enormous gray bricks. The same warning sign was posted on the wall every few feet or so.
"Wolves beware. By Kral decree and approved by the Happily Ever After Assembly, wolves of any kind, breed, or color are strictly prohibited from entering the Red Riding Hood Kingdom. All trespassers will be killed and turned into rugs, coats, or decoration. You have been warned. Now be gone."
"Wow," Connor said. "The wolves are definitely not getting in there."
They walked beside the wall for another couple of hours, but never found an entrance. Alex reread the journal and found a part that she had missed.
"There is a north entrance, a south entrance, an east entrance, and a west entrance. Each has its own path that goes into the center of the kingdom, where the town is. There is only one town in the Red Riding Hood Kingdom. The rest is farmland."
"Oh no," Alex said. "I misread the journal. Apparently there are only four entrances into the kingdom."
"And how close are we to one of them?" Connor asked.
Alex looked closely at the map, and her eyes widened a bit. Connor could tell it wasn't going to be good news.
"It looks like we're right in between the west entrance and the south entrance, which means..."
"More walking," Connor said with a frowned forehead and his hands on his hips.
"Yes," Alex said, bearing the bad news. "About a day or two's worth."
Connor walked around in a circle, frustrated beyond belief.
"This is so annoying," Connor yelled. "Why can't anything be easy?"
"Connor, everything's okay. It's just going to take a little longer to..."
"No, Alex, it's not okay," Connor yelled. "We've been in this world for almost a week. I want to go home. I miss Mom. I miss my friends. I'm even starting to miss Mrs. Peters. There, I admitted it."
Connor was so upset that he kicked a tree, but he ended up just hurting his foot.
"Ouch!" he yelled.
"I miss home too, but there's nothing I can do about it," Alex said. "We'll get home when we get home, and that's that. But in the meantime, it doesn't do us any good to be angry. We just have to get through it."
Connor crossed his arms, and his shoulders slumped. He was aggravated almost to tears. Alex assumed they were closer to the southern entrance and led the way toward it. Connor verbalized his frustrations the entire way.
"I miss pavement and sidewalks," Connor ranted. "I miss our crappy rental house.
I miss our neighborhood. I miss that dog down the street that barks constantly through the night. I miss homework. I miss getting detention for not doing homework.
Let it out, Connor, Alex said. You'll feel better.
I hate this place, Connor continued. I hate the dirt paths. I hate the man-eating witches. I hate the mutant-sized wolves. I hate sleeping outside. I hate bridge trolls. I hate all the trees.
Wait, that's it. The trees.
Connor searched their surroundings and ran ahead to a big tree next to the kingdom's wall.
What are you doing? Alex asked.
I'm getting inside the kingdom. I'm going to climb this tree and hop over the wall, Connor yelled back at her.
He started climbing it at a very quick and determined pace.
It's a 30-foot drop on the other side at least,
Alex shouted at him.
Come on, Alex, Connor said, and gestured for her to follow him.
I'm not climbing that tree, she said.
You'd climb up Rapunzel's tower, but a tree's out of the question? He asked mockingly.
And I shouldn't have done that, I agree, she said, but was ignored.
Connor was almost at the top of the tree. Alex ran over to the tree and climbed a little ways after him.
Connor, please come down from there. I'd rather travel slowly and safely than quickly and dangerously, she said.
Connor stood up on the tallest branch of the tree. The top of the wall was just a few feet away.
I'm gonna jump to the wall and see if I can spot a way down, Connor said.
Connor, don't be stupid. Climb down right now. You're going to hurt yourself, Alex demanded.
Wish me luck, Connor said, and prepped himself for the jump. 1, 2, 3.
Connor jumped off the tree branch and soared toward the wall.
No!
Alex yelled. He had jumped a little too hard. He missed the wall by a few inches and flew over it headfirst.
Alex!
Connor bellowed as he fell. She heard a large thump from the other side, but she couldn't see anything.
Connor!
Alex screamed.
Connor, are you all right? Connor, are you alive?
She was hysterical. Alex clambered up the tree faster than any animal she'd ever seen in a documentary.
Connor, answer me, she pleaded. Can you hear me? Are you hurt?
Alex heard laughter just as she reached the top of the tree. On the other side of the wall, she saw Connor lying safely on a big stack of hay.
Hi, Alex, Connor said with a big smile on his face.
Connor, you scared me to death, Alex shouted.
I know, it was so entertaining, Connor said. Do you really think I would have jumped if I didn't see something to land on?
I'm glad you're alive so I can kill you myself, Alex said.
Jump over. It's a soft landing, I promise, he said.
Fine, Alex said.
She carefully tossed him her bag before jumping over the fence. Connor was right. The landing was soft. They were covered in hay, and they brushed it off each other.
Take a look at this place, Alex said,
as she and Connor journeyed into the Red Riding Hood Kingdom. They felt as if they had entered another dimension all over again. There were rolling hills of farmland for as far as they could see. Cows and sheep were grazing across the fields. Shepherds with curved staffs and shepherdesses in large bonnets attended to the animals with their dogs.
Everything's so peaceful here, Alex said. I feel like I'm in a nursery rhyme.
They must be bored out of their minds, Connor said.
I wonder whose land this is, Alex said.
A few moments later, Alex got her answer. They passed a big, wooden sign stuck into the ground that said, Bo Peep Family Farms. The scenery was so pleasant that the time went by fairly fast. After traveling a while longer, the peaked and pointed rooftops of the town came into view. They couldn't see much while looking at it from the outskirts, but once they were in the center of it, the town came to life.
How adorable!
Alex squealed at first sight of the town. It was so dainty and picturesque that they felt like they were in a theme park. It was filled with tiny cottage homes and shops made of bricks or stone walls and hay roofs. A bell in the steeple of an old church house rang. Many staff-carrying men and bonnet-wearing women, like the ones they had seen in the fields, walked around the town, pulling goats and sheep along with them. Among the many stores and shops were the Henny Penny Bank, Jack Horner's Pie Shop, and the Pat a Cake Bakery. The Shoe Inn, just adjacent to the main town, was a boot of gigantic proportions turned into a working hotel. In the very center of the town was a grassy park that hosted several memorials and monuments.
Alex was doing mental backflips at the side of each of them. A small brick wall that stood by itself had a golden plaque on it that said, "Sir Humpty Dumpty's Wall. You were a good egg and shall be missed by more than just the king's horses and men. Rest in pieces." Just past Humpty Dumpty's wall was a small hill with a well on top of it. A sign pointing to the hill said, "Jack and Jill Hill." In the middle of the park was a circular fountain. A statue of a young shepherd boy stood in the center of it, and water poured from the mouths of the sheep that were under him. The carved dedication to the fountain read, "In memory of the boy who cried wolf, you were a liar, but you were loved." The twins were so enthralled by everything that they were getting strange looks from the villagers and townspeople. "This place reminds me of that miniature golf course in town," Connor said. "Not the one by us, but the really legit one across town, where all the rich kids live." At the edge of town, with the best view of the park, was Red Riding Hood's castle. The castle had four tall towers that could be seen from anywhere in town. It appropriately had red walls with dark red roofs. A moat circled the castle and had its own watermill. The castle looked massive from far away. However, as the twins moved closer to it, they realized it wasn't very big at all. It was just built to look big. The moat around it was so small that one of the twins could have easily stepped over it. "I bet you Red Riding Hood's basket is in there somewhere," Connor said. Alex retrieved the journal from out of her bag and began reading the specifics of collecting the basket to Connor. "Unlike every other palace or castle, Red Riding Hood's isn't very difficult to break into. The castle was built so quickly after the Crawl Revolution that the builders forgot to add some basic necessities. The kitchen windows located in the back of the castle have no locks on them. The Red Riding Hood Kingdom is the safest and smallest of all the kingdoms. Therefore, they're short-handed on soldiers and guards. The halls of the castle are only patrolled until midnight, and the guards don't return until dawn. Sneak into the castle between midnight and dawn through the kitchen windows, stay away from the main halls, and you should be fine. Queen Red Riding Hood has a special room in her chambers devoted to all the baskets she's acquired and has been given over the years. Find this room, and you'll find her very first basket, the one she took with her to her grandmother's house all those years ago. You don't need to collect the whole basket, just a small chunk of the tree bark that surrounds the rim. It should be easy to identify, as there's already a chunk of tree bark missing from when I collected it."
"And I was just hoping we could ring the doorbell and ask for it," Connor said.
Alex looked up at all the towers and windows. She wondered which window belonged to the room they would find the basket in. And as she looked up at the castle, something else entirely caught her eye.
"Look over there," Alex said, and pointed to the sky.
Connor turned to look in the direction she was pointing. Sticking straight up into the air, 100 feet or so, was an enormous beanstalk.
"That must be Jack's beanstalk," Alex said. "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?"
"No, but I'm sure you want to go see the beanstalk," Connor said, and before he could finish, Alex had taken off toward it.
The twins ran through the town and had to take a trail leading out of the town to get to the beanstalk. They passed a few cottage homes and more farmland as they traveled. It was much farther than they had thought. Eventually, they saw the base of the beanstalk ahead. It was thick and curly and had huge leaves. It grew right next to an old, decrepit shack that was only large enough to have one room inside of it. A little ways behind the beanstalk and the shack was a large, elegant manor with yellow bricks and enough chimneys and windows to hold 12 rooms.
"Which one of those is Jack's house?" Connor asked as they approached the beanstalk.
Alex looked at it for a moment until she figured it out.
"That shack must be where Jack lived with his mother when they were poor, and then after he defeated the giant and became rich, they must have built a new home just behind it," she said happily. "They're both his."
Connor shrugged. He had no reason to doubt her guess.
"Look how tall it is," Alex said once they had reached the base of the beanstalk. "It would take a lot of bravery to climb that."
Just then they heard a door slam and a man came out of the manor. He was young and tall, with short hair and broad shoulders. He was very good-looking, but he wore a subdued expression. He carried an axe and a log.
"Look, Alex," Connor whispered. "Do you think that's Jack?"
"I don't know," she whispered back. "Let's ask him." The man set the log on a chopping block in the front yard and began chopping the log into small pieces.
"Hi there,"
said Alex, being extra friendly.
"Hello," said the man,
never looking up from chopping.
Are you Jack? Connor asked him.
Yep, the man said. Do you need something?
No, we're just traveling around, Alex said. We saw your beanstalk from all the way in town and wanted to get a closer look.
Many people do, Jack said. I have to chop it down once a week because it grows so fast.
His expression barely changed as he chopped the wood. Was he just accustomed to random people approaching his home and beanstalk, and he'd become numb to it?
You have a lovely home, Alex said.
Except for that eyesore in the front, Connor said, and nodded toward the shack behind him.
Connor, be polite, Alex said.
I've turned it into a workshop, Jack told them.
He finished chopping the wood, collected the pieces in his hands, went into the shack, and slammed the door behind him.
Well, someone isn't much of a conversationalist, Connor said.
I wonder what's wrong with him. He seems so different, Alex said.
Have you met before? Connor asked. Sometimes he wondered if she had forgotten that they were from another world.
No, I just mean from the way he's always been described, Alex said. He was always so energetic and adventurous. I wonder what's troubling him.
Maybe he doesn't like people coming up to his house, said Connor. If I were him, I'd get really annoyed too.
Connor had another sarcastic comment to add, but he was distracted by a high-pitched sound coming from inside the manor.
Do you hear that? Connor asked Alex. It sounds like singing.
They both turned to face the manor as a set of window shutters were pushed open. The twins wouldn't have believed it if they hadn't been so close, but standing behind the open window was a golden woman. She happily sang a soprano ballad as loudly as she could. A set of strings played along with her, but the twins couldn't see where the music was coming from.
Oh, the day is here, and so am I, to wistfully dream of birds that fly. If I had legs, I'd see the world and travel away. But I'm only a harp, and this window is where I shall stay.
She turned to face the twins as she sang the final note, and they noticed a set of strings connected to her back. The strings played magically along to her voice. She was a magic harp.
Hello, children. I didn't see you there,
the harp said.
Alex jumped up and down.
Are you the magical harp? She asked. The one that Jack saved from the giant?
The one and only,
the harp said, and struck a dramatic pose.
And thank God he did, because giants have terrible taste in music. You wouldn't believe the numbers he used to force me to perform for him. All the lyrics were about eating sheep and stepping on villagers. Would you like me to sing for you?
No thanks, Connor said. The harp took offense to this.
I remember that day like it was yesterday, the harp said. There I was, minding my own business, being a slave for the giant, when suddenly the skinny peasant boy walks by, and I was like, hey there, why don't you rescue me? I could use some rescuing. The next thing I know, we're zooming down a beanstalk, being chased by the giant. Jack chopped down the beanstalk, and the giant fell to his death. Splat, right on the Bo Peep Farms. It was quite a day.
How terrifying, Alex said.
It was the most excitement I had had in 100 years. Everything worked out just wonderfully, though. Jack and his mother became rich, I wasn't a slave anymore, and the Bo Peep family said the giant was the best fertilizer their farms had ever used.
That's so wrong, Connor said to himself.
What are you two doing here?
The harp asked them with a big smile. Alex and Connor looked at each other, both afraid to answer.
We're just visiting, Alex said. We've never been to the Red Riding Hood Kingdom before.
We were in town and saw the beanstalk and wanted to see it up close, Connor said.
Then welcome, the harp said. Don't you just love it here? I know I do. I've been around the world and I've never felt more comfortable. It's so safe here. The people are all friendly farmers, and the best part is, no wolves are allowed. Are you two thinking of moving? Wouldn't that be nice? I think you should move here and visit me every day.
The harp was very chatty, and the twins could tell she was desperate for attention. Spending every day cooped up in a house couldn't be easy.
We're actually on our way home, Connor said. We just have to make a stop at Red Riding Hood's castle, and then we'll be on our way. We've never been before.
You should have Jack take you, the harp said. He's headed there this afternoon to meet with Queen Red Riding Hood.
He is?
Alex asked.
Oh, yes, the harp said.
He visits her at the end of every week and brings her a handmade basket every time.
The harp looked side to side to make sure no one else was listening, but there was no one in sight.
Now, you didn't hear this from me,
the harp said excitedly, with gossip in her eyes.
Queen Red Riding Hood calls him to the castle every week and proposes to him. Poor thing has been in love with him since they were kids.
Really? Alex said. Does that mean they're getting married?
Oh, heavens no, the harp said. Jack can't stand her. He turns her down every time.
Why would he do that? Doesn't he want to be king? Connor asked.
His heart belongs to someone else, the harp said sadly, and the strings on her back played a sad chord.
Who does he love? Alex asked.
Let me guess, Connor said. Little Miss Muffet?
Of course not, the harp said. Miss Muffet married Georgie Porgy, but as everyone knows, he has countless affairs. But that's another story.
Back to Jack, Alex said.
Oh, right. Well, I'm not sure who he's in love with. I've never seen her, the harp said. All I know is he's never been the same since she moved away.
Alex and Connor looked at each other with the same questioning expression. Who could it be? Was that the reason he had seemed so gloomy? The door of the shack opened, and Jack emerged with a basket made from the pieces of wood he had just chopped.
Hey, Jack, I have a wonderful idea, the harp called out. Why don't you take these two with you to the castle? They've never been inside it before.
Jack seemed hesitant. Please, Mr. Jack, Alex pleaded. We won't be any trouble.
Come on, Jack, make their day, the harp pleaded.
All right, Jack said. Jack turned and began traveling toward the town. The twins ran after him.
Thanks so much, Alex called back to the harp. You're welcome, the harp said. Come back and visit me, please.
Jack was a very fast walker. His legs were much longer than the twins, so they found it difficult to keep up with him.
It's very kind of you to let us tag along, Alex said to Jack, but he never looked up from the ground.
You're not much of a talker, are you? Connor said.
I don't have much to say, Jack said.
Connor nodded at him. He understood completely. As they neared the town, Alex pulled Connor aside.
How lucky is this? She said. If we get inside the castle and get a hold of the basket, we'll be out of this kingdom in no time.
They traveled into the town and reached the castle. There was a set of large wooden doors at the castle's entrance. Jack knocked on the door. A moment later, a small window in the middle of the door opened and a set of eyes appeared.
Who goes there?
Said a voice on the other side of the doors.
It's Jack, Jack said.
Again. Who is that behind you?
The voice demanded. And the eyes looked over Jack's shoulder to Alex and Connor. They awkwardly waved.
Oh, what are your names again?
Jack asked the twins.
Alex and Connor,
Alex told him, and gave him a thumbs up. These are my friends, Alex and Connor. They're accompanying me to the castle today, Jack said. The doors opened, and the twins followed Jack into the castle. It felt like a condensed version of Cinderella's palace. The halls weren't quite as long, and the furniture wasn't quite as nice. There were many portraits hung on the walls, but they were all of Queen Red Riding Hood, at various ages and different poses, each one more grand than the last. The twins waited with Jack in a hall outside another set of doors. Jack knocked on the doors and immediately took a seat on a bench outside them.
This always takes a moment, Jack said.
A series of footsteps and sounds of rushing about came from the other side of the doors.
Wait! Don't open the door. I'm not ready yet, someone whispered. Hand me that cape. No, not that one. The one with the hood. Hurry.
Jack began to whistle as he waited.
How do I look? What about my dress? Does it seem all right to you?
The whispers continued.
All right. I'm ready. Let him in. Quickly.
Jack stood up just as the doors were opened by a pink-faced and out-of-breath handmaiden. She escorted Jack inside, and the twins followed. They entered a long room with tall windows on both sides. The walls were covered in more portraits of the queen. Looking up from the floor was a giant wolf head with red eyes and a set of sharp teeth. It looked just like one of the wolves the twins had seen in the dwarf forests, and it alarmed them at first, before they discovered it was just a wolfskin rug spread out on the floor. The twins knew without asking that the rug must have been the big bad wolf himself at one point. At the very end of the room, perched elegantly, almost too elegantly, on a large throne,
was Queen Red Riding Hood.
"Hello, Jack,"
Red Riding Hood said. Red Riding Hood was a very pretty young woman, around the same age as Jack. She had bright blue eyes and blonde hair that was done up glamorously behind her crown. She wore a long red gown with a matching hooded cape and a pink corset. She wore a necklace with a massive diamond. Her shoulders were completely bare, and she wore a pair of long gloves with a dozen sparkly rings on her fingers. She was showing too much skin, wearing too much makeup, and was dressed too well for the middle of the day.
"Hello, Red," Jack said.
"What a surprise! I wasn't even expecting you," she said.
"Uh-huh," Jack said.
"And I see you brought guests?" Red asked.
She was not happy to see that she and Jack were not alone.
"Yes, this is Alex and Connor," Jack said.
"Hello," Alex said bashfully.
"What's up, Red?" Connor said, and was then elbowed by his sister.
"Hello!"
Red said behind a clenched and very fake smile.
"Welcome to my castle. Please have a seat."
Red clapped her hands, and two servants placed a large, cushy chair right next to her throne for Jack to sit on. They brought Alex and Connor each a small stool to sit on, some distance away from Red and Jack. Jack moved the chair back, away from the throne a couple of feet, before sitting on it. He handed Red the basket he had made for her.
"Is this for me?"
Red asked him.
"Oh, how thoughtful of you! You are just too sweet for words. I'll cherish it."
"You always do," Jack said.
"So, tell me, what's new with you?"
Red asked Jack. She was leaning toward him as far as she possibly could without falling off her throne.
"Nothing much," Jack said. "Same old, same old."
His body language made it obvious that he was ready to leave from the minute he had sat down.
"How's the kingdom?"
"Oh, I never bother myself with all that talk of economy and security and peasant needs and blah, blah, blah," Red said. "My granny takes care of all that for me. She's much better at it than I would be anyway."
Red got tired of holding the basket. She snapped her fingers, and her handmaiden collected the basket from her.
"Put it with the others," Red instructed.
The handmaiden collected it from her and headed out of the room. The twins figured this was their chance.
"May we see the others?"
Alex asked.
"The others?"
Red asked.
"The other baskets,"
Alex said. Red was looking at her peculiarly.
"My brother loves baskets."
Connor nodded, going along with it.
"I do. They're my most favorite thing ever," Connor said. "You know what they say, life is better with baskets."
Red was staring at them as if they were the strangest people she had ever met in her life.
"If you wish,"
she said, and shooed them off. Alex and Connor jumped up and followed the handmaiden out of the room and down a hall.
"Where does Queen Red Riding Hood keep all of her baskets?"
Alex asked the handmaiden, and then winked at Connor. She wasn't very good at playing dumb.
"She has a chamber dedicated entirely to baskets," the handmaiden said.
"So she has a basket room?" Connor asked.
"Yes, and if you received as many as she did a year, you would too," the handmaiden said.
"How many are we talking about?"
Connor asked.
"You'll see," she said.
The handmaiden opened a door, and the three of them walked inside. The room was twice the size of the room they had just been in, and was filled from floor to ceiling with thousands and thousands of baskets. Some were on shelves, some were stacked neatly, and others were just piled around the room. The handmaiden tossed the basket from Jack in a pile on one side of the room.
"The queen gets them for birthdays, all the days, and any special occasion," the handmaiden said. "Some are from villagers, some from friends, others are from the monarchs of neighboring kingdoms."
Alex and Connor stared around the room with their mouths opened. How would they ever find the basket they were looking for in all of this?
"Do you mind if we have a look around?"
Alex managed to say through her shock.
"I suppose," the handmaiden said.
She looked at the twins curiously, and then left them inside the basket room. The twins could barely breathe. They both felt as if a dumbbell had suddenly been tied to their chests.
"I have never felt so overwhelmed in my life," Connor declared. "This is like trying to do the whole summer break packet of homework the day before school starts again, but 1,000 times worse. How are we going to look through all of these?"
"It's not that bad,"
Alex tried convincing him, but she didn't even convince herself. We just need to start. You take one side, and I'll take the other. Let's do this. They split and rapidly began looking through the piles and piles of baskets for the one with the bark rim. They knew they didn't have much time and grew more anxious after each second. They had no idea there could be so many shapes and sizes and designs for baskets. Like snowflakes, each one was different from the next. Alex was paranoid that she had missed it. Connor kept getting splinters and kept shouting, "Ah!" every time it happened. They had been there for almost an hour and still hadn't covered even a fourth of the room. They were making a huge mess. The room was twice as disorganized now as it had been when they had entered it. Even Alex wasn't hesitating throwing around baskets that she had already examined. "This is impossible!" Connor yelled, kicking a pile of baskets. Just as he kicked the pile, the door swung open and the handmaiden returned. Alex and Connor froze. She was appalled by the chaos they had caused.
"I don't know what on earth you're doing, but I think it's time for you two to leave," she said.
The handmaiden escorted them back to the throne room. This time, she watched them like a hawk as they sat on their stools. Queen Red Riding Hood was literally hanging off of her throne and grabbing hold of Jack's chair as she talked to him. The twins had never seen Jack look so bored and lifeless. Neither of them had noticed the twins' return.
"You know, Jack," Red said, circling his forearm with her finger, "the Red Riding Hood Kingdom isn't much of a kingdom without a king."
"Perhaps you should change the name to the Red Riding Hood Queendom," Jack said. Red laughed much harder than she should have.
"You're so funny! But that's not what I meant. What I'm trying to tell you, Jack, is that I've never been more ready to get married. If someone asked me for my hand in marriage today, I would say yes. Do you know anyone who might be interested in marrying me? In being king? Anyone?"
A white dove suddenly flew by one of the windows outside and sat on the window ledge. As soon as Jack saw it, his entire face lit up. His eyes grew wide, and he smiled. For once, he looked happy. He turned to Red. Clearly, she wasn't used to seeing him like this either. The twins could practically see her heart beating out of her chest as excitement filled her body. Was he going to propose? Was this the moment she had been waiting for so long?
"Red," Jack said. "Yes, Jack?" Red said.
"I have to go," Jack said, jumping up and heading out of the throne room. Red almost fell off her throne.
"Go?" she said. "Go where?"
"Home," Jack called out, not even looking back at her. "I'll see you next week." Red crossed her arms and pouted. He was the only thing preventing her from having everything. The twins felt it was best to leave with Jack, so they followed him out of the castle. "It was wonderful meeting you, Alex, Connor," Jack said, and shook their hands.
"Likewise," Alex said. "Thanks again for taking us to the castle."
"My pleasure. I hope to run into you someday soon," Jack said,
and then headed in the direction of his home with a new bounce in his step. It was very strange. Jack was now acting like the person Alex had always thought he would be.
What is that guy's deal? How does someone go from a zombie to a camp counselor in a matter of seconds? Connor said.
"I don't know," Alex said, looking after him as he walked away. "He's a very odd man."
"Looks like we'll be sneaking into the castle after all," Connor said, and slumped to a seated position on the ground.
"At least we know what to expect tonight, and we already went through a good portion of the baskets," Alex said. "We just have to wait until midnight."
"And in the meantime, I could really use a nap," Connor said.
The twins traveled up the street and booked a room at the Shoe Inn. The room had a perfect view of Red Riding Hood's castle. It was somewhere near the shoe's tongue, because a set of laces crossed through one of their walls. The room also had a working bathtub, and they both took turns using it, since they hadn't been able to bathe in so long.
"That was the best bath I think I'll ever have," Connor said.
They both decided to rest for a little bit, and as soon as their bodies touched the bed, they both fell into a deep sleep. They slept for a few hours and woke up shortly before midnight.
"What's our game plan for tonight?" Connor said. "It'll be the first time we'll ever be breaking and entering anywhere, so I'm extra anxious."
"Let's take account of everything we have now," Alex said, and dumped all the contents of their bags onto the bed. "We have 2 blankets, a bag of gold coins, a dagger, a lock of Rapunzel's hair, a glass slipper, a map, a journal, and a satchel of food, Alex listed. We can use the dagger to cut a chunk of wood out of the basket, but it's going to be dark. We'll need some light. Let's take these lanterns, Connor said, and gathered lanterns that were on the bedsides. Great, Alex said. We should plan on leaving the kingdom right after, just in case we run into some trouble. We'll head to the east entrance of the kingdom, and that'll bring us close to the border of the fairy kingdom. Connor lowered his head. I was so looking forward to coming back to this bed. At 9:15, Alex and Connor gathered all their things, lit their lanterns, and left the shoe in. They walked across town to the castle. It was so quiet at night. Not even farm animals were up this late. They hid behind Humpty Dumpty's wall and watched through the castle windows as guards patrolled the halls. Just a few more minutes and they'll leave, Alex said. A few minutes later, they saw fewer and fewer guards walk past the windows. Are they gone? Connor asked. They must be, Alex said. Let's go. They ran around to the back of the castle and saw a large kitchen through a set of windows. They hopped across the moat, they knew they'd be able to, and pulled at the window. Like the journal had said, it didn't have a lock, and it opened easily. Alex crawled into the kitchen first. She was as quiet as possible. The only sound she made came from the intense beats of her heart. Connor climbed in after and knocked over a stack of pots and pans. Alex was mortified.
I'm going to kill you, she mouthed at him. Sorry,
he mouthed back at her. They waited for a moment to see if anyone had heard the disturbance, but no one had. The twins left the kitchen and found themselves in a hallway with, to no surprise, more portraits of Red Riding Hood. That Red Riding Hood sure loves having her portrait painted, Connor said. Maybe there are so many paintings of her because she's the first monarch the kingdom has ever had. It doesn't have the history the Charming Kingdom has, Alex said.
Or she's a self-obsessed twit, Connor said.
They traveled down the hall, then another one, then up a set of stairs, and down another hall.
Do you know where we're going? Connor asked.
I thought I was following you, Alex said.
What? Since when do you follow me? Connor said.
A shadow was creeping toward them from down the hall. As it got closer, they could see it was the silhouette of a guard.
A guard,
Alex whispered, and pointed at the shadow. They ran down the hall and entered the first room they found. The room was pitch black.
Where are we now? Connor asked.
Why are you asking me questions you know I don't have the answers to?
Alex said. Alex waited by the door and listened for the guard to pass by. Connor moved around the room, with his hand stretched out in the darkness so he wouldn't bump into anything. Their eyes began to adjust to the darkness.
Alex, I think I can see something.
Connor walked right into what he thought was a doorway and suddenly saw a pale face staring back at him. He fell to the floor with fear. He screamed as quietly as he could.
Alex! There's someone standing over there in the doorway! He's so creepy and ugly!
Connor said, pointing up. Alex ran to his side and squinted her eyes to see what he was talking about.
That's not a doorway. That's a mirror, you idiot, Alex said.
Oh, Connor said, and Alex helped him to his feet.
Oh my, what big claws you have,
said a voice behind Alex and Connor, causing them both to jump 5 feet into the air. They turned to see an enormous four-poster bed with silky red sheets and lacy white curtains around it. In the bed, talking in her sleep, was Queen Red Riding Hood.
We're in the Queen's bedroom? Connor whispered to Alex.
Oh my, what a big nose you have, Grandma,
Red said, still very much asleep.
Is she having a nightmare?
Connor asked.
Oh my, what big sharp teeth you have! Wolf!
Red screamed and sat straight up in her bed, awake. Alex and Connor dropped to the floor, out of her view. She was out of breath, and beads of sweat appeared on her forehead. She finally caught her breath.
Ugh, not again,
she said, and then, frustrated, laid back down to sleep. Alex and Connor were afraid to move.
Did she go back to sleep yet?
Connor asked.
How are we supposed to tell?
Alex asked.
Oh my, what big strong arms you have, Jack,
Red said. I'm guessing she's asleep, Connor said, and confidently stood up.
Oh my, what soft lips you have, Jack,
Red said.
Let's get out of here before we hear her describe anything else, Connor said.
They emerged back into the hall and traveled around the castle for a while. All the halls looked so familiar, it seemed impossible to find the basket room. Every time they thought they had found the right door, they found themselves in a drawing room, or a dining room, or a ballroom.
"Let's find the entrance and retrace our steps to the throne room," Alex began, but Connor interrupted her.
"No need. The baskets are in there," he said, and pointed to a door beside them.
"How do you know?" Alex asked him.
"Because I remember that portrait of Red being next to the basket room," Connor said, and pointed to a portrait where Red Riding Hood was barely clothed, with only a wolfskin coat to cover her. Alex gave Connor a really dirty look.
"What?"
Connor asked with a smirk.
"It's memorable."
They pushed the door open and found the room they had spent the entire afternoon in earlier.
"Let's take it from where we left off," Alex said.
She and Connor split up and headed to the areas they had last searched. It had been hard during the day, but it was even harder at night, since they had only the light from their lanterns to go by. After a few hours of searching, their anxiety levels were as high as Jack's beanstalk. Suddenly, the twins heard a loud clank.
"What was that?" Alex said.
"Alex, look up there,"
Connor said, pointing to a window. On the window ledge was a shiny X-shaped object.
"What is that?" Alex asked.
"It's a grappling hook," Connor said. It jerked slightly in a consistent pattern.
"I think someone's climbing up. Hide!"
They left their lanterns on the ground and dove behind a pile of baskets. A moment later, a figure appeared on the window ledge. It took out a sharp knife and cut out a large circle in the window and then quietly crawled into the room. It was a woman who the twins had never seen before. Her clothing was made out of plant leaves sewn together, and her hair was a shade of red so dark it almost seemed purple. The woman scanned the room and looked cautiously at the two lanterns. Did she know the twins were in there? Like an animal, the woman began sniffing around the room. She searched through the baskets as she sniffed, discarding some by tossing them behind her. She went around the room, using her nose as her guide, until finally, she locked in one direction. She climbed on top of a pile of baskets to reach the top of a shelf. She reached her hand to the back of the shelf and pulled out a basket. It had a rim made of tree bark. Alex and Connor looked at each other.
"There it is."
The woman carved a big chunk of bark out of the basket and then tucked it safely into her belt. She put the basket back on the shelf and climbed down the pile of baskets and headed for the window. She was just about to climb through the window when she heard an "Ah!" come from the other side of the room. Connor had given himself another splinter from hiding behind the baskets.
"Connor,"
Alex mouthed.
"Sorry,"
he mouthed back. The woman walked toward where they were hiding. She squinted in their direction for a moment. Alex and Connor were both too frightened, even to breathe. They knew she knew they were there.
What was she going to do to them?
The woman looked to the ground at one of their lanterns, and a coy smile appeared on her face. She kicked it into a pile of baskets and disappeared through the window and back down the rope, connected to the grappling hook.
"That was a close one," Connor said. "Good thing she didn't find us, or we'd be in some..."
"Connor, look!"
Alex said. The pile of baskets the woman had kicked the lantern into was on fire.
"Oh, boy,"
Connor said.
"We've got to get out of here."
"Not until I get a piece of that basket,"
Alex said. She reached into her bag and pulled out the dagger. She ran up the pile of baskets to the top of the shelf, just as she had seen the woman do. She wasn't as tall as the woman, so she had to reach farther to get it.
"Alex, hurry,"
Connor said. The fire was growing and spreading around the room to different piles and stacks of baskets. He tried blowing the fire out, but it didn't work. These were large flames, not birthday candles. Alex had to climb up onto the shelf to reach the basket, but she finally wrapped her fingers around it.
"Gotcha,"
Alex said, pulling it out. The bark around the rim had two chunks missing, one from whoever had written the journal, and the other from whoever that woman was. Alex sank her dagger into the basket and began cutting out a piece of it.
"Alex, unless you want to leave this place extra crispy, I suggest you hurry,"
Connor yelled. Half of the room was ablaze. It was becoming unbearably hot inside the room. Dark smoke was filling the air, making it hard to breathe.
"I got it,"
Alex said, and made her way down to Connor. The flames had covered the door they'd entered from.
"How do we get out of here?"
Alex yelled. The sound of running footsteps came from the hall outside the door. Through the flames, the twins could see the faces of several alarmed guards.
"Fire! Fire in the castle!"
a guard yelled.
"Get the queen to safety! Get some water!"
Another guard pointed directly at the twins.
You two, stay where you are!
Not likely, Connor yelled.
He picked up a particularly heavy basket and threw it out a window, causing it to shatter. He grabbed his sister's hand and pulled her toward it. They breathed in the fresh air from outside.
Look, the water mill's right below us, Connor said, and started climbing out of the window and down toward it.
He helped his sister out of the window, and they climbed down the water mill together. Halfway down, flames burst through all the windows in the basket room. The entire room was an inferno. The water mill began to turn from the twins' weight, and they fell straight into the moat, which wouldn't have been such a rough landing if the moat had been deeper than 3 feet. The twins clambered out of the moat and began running as fast as they could away from the castle. No guards or soldiers were chasing them. They all must have been inside the castle trying to put out the fire. Alex and Connor ran out of the town and were on their way toward the eastern gate of the Red Riding Hood Kingdom in a matter of minutes. They only looked back once and saw that almost half of the castle was now on fire. A thick trail of smoke filled the sky.
Was that the fourth or fifth time we've narrowly escaped death this week? Connor asked.
Who was that woman? Alex asked. And why was she looking for the basket too?
Thank God she found it. Otherwise, we might never have, Connor said.
The most worrisome thought came to Alex's mind.
Connor, you don't think someone else is collecting items for the wishing spell, do you?
He had to think about it, but she could see it was just as troubling for him to consider it as it was for her.
I doubt it, Connor said.
Think about all the trouble the man who wrote the journal went through to learn about it. I'd be shocked if someone else knew anything about it.
Alex nodded. They both knew it was very unlikely, but the possibility still lingered in their heads.
A few hours later, the twins could see the eastern gate of the Red Riding Hood Kingdom wall in the distance. The guards must have extinguished the fire in the castle, because there was no more smoke filling the air. The night sky was at its darkest just before dawn. As they reached the gate, they could see something moving near it. Spooked from the events earlier, Alex and Connor dove behind a bush and watched from afar. It was a man pacing near the gate. He was tall and seemed young. There's something oddly familiar about him.
Is that Jack? Alex asked.
Connor took a closer look.
It is. What is he doing all the way out here?
Suddenly, a hooded figure came into view on the other side of the gate.
Who is that? Connor asked.
Jack carefully approached the gate. There was so much tension between him and whoever was on the other side of the gate that even the twins could feel it. He had been waiting for whoever it was all night.
Hello, Jack, said the hooded figure.
Hello, Goldie, he said.
And then the twins realized who it was. Goldilocks. She was wearing the dark maroon coat they had seen her wear in the dwarf forests.
How do they know each other?
Alex asked.
Connor shook his head. No idea.
I saw your dove, Jack said. I knew you must have sent it.
I did,
Goldilocks said.
I knew you'd recognize it.
Doves are hard to train these days.
The twins could tell from the way they were standing that Goldilocks and Jack had much to say to each other, but they said very little. Instead, they just stared into each other's eyes with their bodies pressed against the bars between them.
I hate these bars between us, Jack said.
It's either the bars of this gate or the bars of a prison cell, I'm afraid, Goldilocks said.
I worry about you constantly, Jack said.
I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself, Goldilocks said.
I wish you'd let me come with you, Jack said. You know I'd pack my things and leave right now if you'd let me.
No sense in ruining two lives, Goldilocks said. You'll find someone else someday.
You've been saying that since you left, yet here I am, year after year, meeting you in the shadows, Jack said.
She's the one he's in love with, Alex said, putting the pieces together. She's the reason Jack won't marry Red Riding Hood. She's the girl the Harp was telling us about.
Oh, Connor said. This is like a soap opera.
Jack placed his hands over Goldilocks' hands.
I swear, if I ever find the person who wrote you that letter, I'll kill them, Jack said. They're the reason for this whole mess.
What is done, and it can never be undone, Goldilocks said.
She and Jack were touching foreheads through the bars.
One day, I'll clear your name, Jack said. I promise, and then we can be together.
Clear my name, Goldilocks said, and backed away from him. I'm a fugitive, Jack. I steal. I run. I even kill when I have to. No one can clear me of that.
It's who I am. It's what I've become.
It didn't start off as your fault, and you know it, Jack said.
Goldilocks grew silent.
I love you, Jack said. And I know you love me too. You don't have to say it back. I just know.
I'm a criminal, and you're a hero, Goldilocks said with cheery eyes.
A flame may love a snowflake, but they can never be together without each harming the other.
Then let me melt, Jack said.
He reached through the gate and pulled Goldilocks close to him, and they kissed. It was passionate, pure, and long overdue. Alex became misty-eyed. Connor scrunched up his face as if he'd smelled something foul.
Good thing those bars are between them, Connor said.
Shut up, Connor, Alex said.
Goldilocks pushed herself away from Jack.
I have to go, she said. I have to be as far away from this place as I can get by sunrise.
Let me come with you, Jack begged.
No, Goldilocks said.
When will I see you next? A week? A month? A year? He asked.
Porridge walked up behind Goldilocks. She leaped up onto the horse's back and took hold of the reins.
Just wait for the dove, she said,
and rode off into the night on her cream-colored horse. Jack watched her until she wasn't visible anymore. Suddenly, all the life in his body faded away, and he once again became the sad man the twins had met earlier. He sadly turned away from the gate and slowly headed home.
I guess not every fairy tale character gets a happily ever after, Alex said.
Alex and Connor ran up to the gate. It was locked, so they had to climb over it, finally making their way out of the Red Riding Hood Kingdom just as the sun started to rise. Chapter 11, The Troll and Goblin Territory. Alex and Connor were lost.
We're not lost, I just don't know exactly where we are, Alex told her brother.
So, in other words, we're lost, Connor said.
All right, Connor, we're lost, Alex said,
and hit him with the map. They had left the Red Riding Hood Kingdom in such a hurry, they thought they might have taken a wrong path. Alex kept looking down at the map, trying to see where they had made a wrong turn, and kept walking into bushes and trees.
We could be in the Fairy Kingdom, or perhaps we're back in the Charming Kingdom, she said. But the eastern gate of the Red Riding Hood Kingdom is so close to so many borders, we could be in the Sleeping Kingdom for all I know.
How is anyone supposed to find their way around this place? It's all just a bunch of trees and dirt roads with the occasional castle, Connor said angrily. We're never going to get home.
It's just a slight setback. We'll be back on track before you know it, Alex said.
And exactly what track are we on? Connor asked. I hate to bring this to your attention, but we've only collected 3 of the 8 wishing spell items, and we have no idea what 2 of them are. And to be frank, we're not even sure if the wishing spell will work when and if we do collect everything.
Don't be negative, Connor, Alex said.
Alex, I'm just being realistic, Connor said. We still have so many places to go, and so much more ground to cover. And after seeing that weird jungle woman in Red Riding Hood's castle take a chunk of the basket, we may not be the only ones going after this wishing spell thing. What if we don't succeed? Have you thought about what we'll do if we get stuck here?
She hadn't thought about it, and didn't want to. She was afraid that thinking about it made it much more possible. Alex inspected the map further, tracing it with her index finger.
All right, I think I figured out what we did wrong, Alex said.
We? You've been hogging that map since we got it, Connor said.
All right, I think I figured out what I did wrong, Alex said, her cheeks reddening.
The path we should have taken is just on the other side of the forest next to us. We'll walk through the forest, get on the correct path, and then be on our way into the Fairy Kingdom.
Great, Connor said.
They walked off the path and into the forest beside them. After walking for a while, they noticed that the forest was very still and eerily quiet. Too quiet, especially for Connor. He'd had a bad feeling in the pit of his stomach since they entered the forest. The trees grew taller here, but whenever the twins looked up, there were no birds or bugs or anything to be seen gliding from tree to tree. The whole forest, excluding the trees, seemed lifeless.
Hey, Alex, Connor asked.
Yes, Connor, Alex said.
Have you noticed we haven't seen any animals or birds for a while? He said.
No, I haven't. I've been a little preoccupied, Alex said, still looking down at the map.
I'm just saying,
Don't you think it's kind of strange we're the only...
Ah!
Without warning, the twins were jerked suddenly upward and suspended in the air. They were dangling above the ground in some sort of rope net. They had walked right into a trap.
What's going on? Alex yelled. What is this?
It's some kind of trap, Connor said.
Help! Alex screamed. Somebody help us!
Unfortunately for them, their cries were heard by the wrong people. Two figures ran through the forest straight toward them. One was tall and lean. The other was short and round.
Acorn, we caught something,
said the low, growly voice of the smaller.
It's about time,
said the high-pitched, raspy voice of the taller. They came close, and the twins could make out the frightening faces of a goblin and a troll standing before them. The goblin was gangly and thin with big yellow eyes and pea-green skin. The troll was fat and frumpy, with a huge nose and horns. Both had big, pointy ears that stuck out of the sides of their heads.
Let's go,
Connor demanded.
You can't do this,
Alex yelled. The goblin and troll paid no attention to what Alex and Connor were saying. They just stared at the twins like insects in a jar.
Ooh, look how young they are, Bobblewort,
the goblin said.
Plenty of time to serve,
the troll said.
What do you mean, serve? Connor said. You'd better not hurt us.
Let us out of this net right now, or I'll report you to the local authorities,
Alex said, not knowing who she could be referring to.
And they'll grow bigger and stronger every day,
the troll said.
Bobblewort, get the cart,
the goblin instructed.
They're going to make the perfect slaves.
The twins struggled twice as hard against the net when they heard the word slaves. They remembered what Froggy had told them over tea. The trolls and goblins had been banished for kidnapping and enslaving innocent people, and now Alex and Connor were living proof that it was still happening. How were they going to escape this? Bobblewort, the troll, ran off and returned a moment later, driving a small cart pulled by a frail donkey. Acorn, the goblin, cut a rope above the net, and the twins fell hard into the cart. They continued to fight against the restraints of the net, but it was no use. Acorn climbed aboard the cart and sat next to Bobblewort. They both took the reins and whipped the donkey belligerently until the cart reached full speed. They traveled for the rest of the day. All the twins could see through the net were treetops and skies zipping past them.
Alex, what are we going to do?
Connor asked, still fighting against the ropes of the net.
I don't know,
Alex said. She is trembling like a small dog. Alex managed to squirm her way to a seated position under the net to see where the troll and goblin were taking them. They were headed straight toward a line of boulders the size of mountains. Alex gasped. She recognized the rock formation from the map.
What is it? What do you see? Connor asked her.
They're taking us to the troll and goblin territory, Alex said, completely white-faced. I can see the boulders that surround it.
They remembered Froggy telling them the boulders had been placed around the territory to keep the trolls and goblins inside, but clearly, as the cart squeezed through a crack between two of the boulders, the inhabitants had found ways around their imprisonment. The cart went through the boulders and into the kingdom, but there was nothing to see. There were no trees or buildings or life of any kind. For miles around them, the land was only littered with piles of rubble and broken bits of stone.
I don't understand, Connor said. Where do they live?
This looks like a medieval junkyard,
Alex said. The cart went through a gigantic hole in the ground and traveled down, deep into the earth. It was pitch black, and the twins could barely see their hands in front of their faces. The smell of mildew and decay was horrible.
The whole kingdom must be underground, Alex said.
After descending in the dark for quite a distance, they saw tiny lights ahead of them. They came from lanterns, scattered around a group of humans digging tunnels.
What are people doing down here?
Connor asked, and then saw the trolls and goblins behind them.
Faster!
The trolls and goblins demanded, whipping the humans. Alex had to cover her eyes at the sight of it.
They must be slaves. Oh, Connor, this is horrible. This is so horrible,
she said. Connor hugged his sister, and she cried into his shoulder.
It's okay, Alex. We'll find a way out of this,
Connor said, but even he was scared. There were hundreds of huts and small homes stacked on top of one another all around them. It was an enormous underground world.
This place must be like one giant ant colony, Connor said.
The cart moved through a stone arch with large statues, one of a goblin and one of a troll, on either side of it. They were frightening, with harsh features, and they were anything but welcoming. A sign carved into the arch read,
Be troll,
be a goblin, or be afraid. Most people just have welcome mats, Connor said. Past the arch was a long tunnel constructed of stones. The cart traveled through the arch, and a light could be seen at the end of the tunnel. There was much noise coming from the end of the tunnel, a combination of high-pitched laughter, rumbling conversation, and loud clanking. The twins were soon driven into a massive common room with hundreds of goblins and trolls spread everywhere on numerous levels. Some were even hanging from a chandelier. Everything was made of stone. They ate and drank from stone plates and goblets and sat on stone chairs at stone tables. They were served by other enslaved men and women. Each troll and goblin behaved in a more vulgar way than the last. In the center of the chaos, on a platform overlooking the room, were two thrones. The troll king sat in one, and the goblin king sat in the other. A crown made of rock was on display directly between them, just above their heads, demonstrating that they equally shared power over the kingdom. They watched over their citizens with crude smirks, enjoying the festivities around them. As the cart went through the room, many of the trolls and goblins hooted and hollered at the twins. Some threw bits of food at them. Alex and Connor held on to each other, tighter than ever, both trembling with fear. The goblins and trolls were all grotesque and dreadful. They had warts and sharp teeth and horrible hygiene. They were the type of monsters Alex and Connor used to have nightmares about when they were younger. Sitting on the king's platform was a little troll girl about the twins' age. She had a round face with a small snout, and her hair was worn in pigtails just below tiny horns. She was sitting with her head resting on her hands and seemed bored and lonely. She didn't appear at all interested in the activities around her. She looked up as the twins passed her and gasped when she saw Connor. This took him by surprise. "What is she looking at?" Connor asked. "Do you think she wants to eat me or something?" The cart turned a corner and descended down another long tunnel. They were so deep underground that they wondered if they would ever make it back to the surface. The cart entered a small and dim dungeon with a row of cells in it. Other slaves were imprisoned inside the cells, men, women, children, and elderly alike. They all looked exhausted and were ghostly pale. They were all silent and cowered at the sight of Acorn and Bobblewort steering the cart into the room. Acorn and Bobblewort cut the net around Alex and Connor, yanked the bags out of their hands, and aggressively forced them inside a cell.
"Get in there,"
Acorn said, and slammed the cell door shut behind them.
"What do we have in here?"
Bobblewort said. He took the twins' bags to a table on the side of the room and dumped all their belongings out onto it.
"Stay out of there," Alex said as she watched helplessly.
There, for the entire room to see, was the glass slipper, the lock of hair, the chunk of basket, the map, the journal, the dagger, their stack of gold coins, and everything else the twins had been carrying. Thankfully, the troll and goblin only seemed interested in the dagger and the stack of gold coins. They took those with them and dumped everything else in a pile of waste on the side of the table.
"Rest up! You'll have a long day tomorrow,"
Bobblewort said, and then shared a laugh with Acorn and left the room with their cart. All the other slaves stared at Alex and Connor through their cell bars. They had sympathy in their eyes, so sorry that the twins were about to experience everything they had endured for however long they had been there.
"Does anyone know how to get out of here?"
Alex asked, but none of them responded, as if they had been trained not to speak. Even the children were silent.
"How is this happening?"
Connor grunted. He violently shook the bars of the cell, but they didn't budge.
"That's no use," said a voice behind the twins. "Those bars are made out of pure stone."
Alex and Connor turned to face the prisoner occupying the cell next to theirs. Crouched over in the darkest corner of his cell was an old man. He was thin and had a long gray beard and tattered clothing.
"There's got to be some way out of here," Connor said.
"I've heard every man and woman say that when they were first brought here," the old man said. "But sadly, there isn't."
"How long have you been here?" Alex asked him.
"Years," the man said.
He leaned forward and the light fell on his face. His face was as tired and ragged as his clothes. He had a wandering eye, so the twins couldn't tell which of them he was speaking to.
"Say, don't I know you two from somewhere?" he asked.
The twins knew this wasn't possible, but the man seemed convinced, and, for whatever reason, the man seemed oddly familiar to them too.
"I don't believe so," Alex said. "We're rather new to the area."
"I could swear it," the old man said.
Are you sure I never traded you a magic flute for a chicken, or perhaps a singing flower for a lamb?
No, I'm sorry, we've never traded anything with you before, Alex said. And then she realized who he was. The wandering eye, the long beard, the raggedy clothing.
Could it be?
She pulled Connor aside.
Connor! He's the traveling tradesman! The one from the journal!
Connor couldn't believe it.
Are you sure?
He asked.
Sir, said Alex, kneeling down to him, are you by chance known as the traveling tradesman?
The man had to think about it. Obviously, the years of enslavement had taken their toll on his mind.
Yes, I believe that is what they called me, he said.
He was happy to be reminded of a time when he wasn't a slave. The twins were so pleased to hear this.
Ask him if he knows what happened to the man who wrote the journal,
Connor whispered into Alex's ear, and she nodded.
Mr. Tradesman, Alex said, do you remember a man coming to you and asking about the wishing spell?
The wishing spell?
The tradesman asked. At first, it seemed he had no idea what she was talking about, but then recognition dawned on his face.
Why, yes, I do. He was one of the last customers I did business with before I was brought here. Silly lad. He talked about wanting to travel into another world, and I thought I was mad.
Did he ever make it? Alex asked. Did he find all the items of the wishing spell?
I don't know,
the tradesman said, and the twins slumped.
I never saw him again, so it's possible.
He looked up at them curiously.
Why do you ask?
The twins looked to each other. They didn't know what to tell him.
Don't tell me you two are chasing after the wishing spell, too, he asked.
They looked at each other guiltily. Connor leaned down next to Alex and began asking questions of his own.
We're trying, but we don't know everything we're looking for, Connor said.
The tradesman laughed.
No one does. That's the beauty of it. Some people know the descriptions of the items it requires, but no one knows what they are for sure.
Like Hagatha, Alex said. She only knew what the riddles were. The man she told them to had to figure out what they were on his own, but he could have been wrong.
What if we found Hagatha and asked her for her opinion? Connor began. Hagatha is dead, the tradesman said.
Dead? Alex gasped. How did she die?
She fell into the Thornbush Pit, the tradesman said.
What is the Thornbush Pit? Alex asked.
Good heavens, child, are you daft? After the curse was broken on the Sleeping Kingdom, all the thorn bush and shrubbery that had grown wild around the kingdom was cleared out and dumped into a large and deep pit, the tradesman said. Hagatha was collecting some of the thorn bush for her home and fell in.
That's awful, Alex said.
She called for help for days, but no one would help her. No one wanted to help an old hag, the tradesman said. Just before she died, Hagatha cursed the thorn bush so that it would grow onto anything or anyone near it and pull it straight to the bottom where she was trapped forever.
That's intense, Connor said.
Since then, however, it's been used as a wasteland. People from all over the kingdoms journey there to drop off anything they never want to see again, he said.
I wonder if there's anyone else we could speak to, Alex said.
Whatever journey you were on, I'm afraid it's over, the tradesman said. Once you're here, and there's nothing you can do about it.
He turned away from them. A commotion came from up the tunnel leading into the dungeon. Trolls and goblins led the men and women who had been serving in the tunnels and the common room back into their cells. They all looked as if they could sleep for a year, if permitted.
Time for sleep,
a troll ordered. And then extinguished all the torches in the room with a bucket of water.
And if anyone makes a sound, no one will be fed tomorrow!
The trolls and goblins left the dungeon, chuckling. The room was pitch black. Alex found Connor in the darkness, and they rested beside each other.
I just don't want Mom to worry,
Alex said with big, teary eyes.
The longer we're here, the longer she's going to be alone.
I'm sure Grandma is with her, Connor said. They probably have the entire police department out looking for us. It'll be an interesting conversation once we get home and tell them where we've been all this time.
Thanks for being positive, Connor,
Alex said. Despite the little comfort her brother gave her, Alex cried herself to sleep.
Connor couldn't sleep. He couldn't stop thinking that, just a week before, he had been safe and sound in his own bed, fearing nothing but schoolwork and Mrs. Peters. And now, here he was, in the dungeons of another dimension, facing a life of slavery. How quickly times had changed. Connor had just dozed off when he suddenly awoke. He felt like someone was watching him. He opened one eye and saw, standing on the other side of the cell door, holding a single candle, the troll girl they had seen in the common room. She had been watching him sleep. "Can I help you?" asked Connor, very creeped out.
"What's your name?"
the troll girl asked him in an airy and engaging voice.
"Why do you want to know?" he asked.
"Because I'd like to know everything about you," she said, with a dreamy smile that made Connor feel sick.
"I'm Connor. Who are you?" he asked.
"My name's Trollbella," she said. "I'm a troll princess. My father's the troll king. Do you have a girlfriend, Connor?"
Oh no, Connor thought. She had a crush on him. He was suddenly so grateful for the bars between them.
Can't say that I do, Connor said awkwardly. It's hard to meet people after having been recently enslaved by trolls and goblins.
Oh, I know, Trollbella said, with big, flirty eyes. Trolls and goblins are the worst. I hate living here. I would move away if I could. Everything is so unorganized, and everyone is so mean. And don't get me started on troll boys. They don't know how to treat a lady.
I'm sorry to hear that, Connor said, hoping a goblin would walk in and take him away to work in a tunnel and save him from this situation.
I'm just a hopeless romantic myself,
Trollbella said, batting her eyelashes and twirling one of her pigtails.
Can I call you Butterboy?
Definitely not, Connor said.
Connor, what's going on?
Asked Alex, waking up.
Who is she?
Trollbella asked. Her playful expression fell into a threatened frown.
Relax, this is just my sister, Connor said.
Hi, said Alex, very confused about what was happening.
I don't like her,
Trollbella said, pointing at Alex. Alex was taken back. Had she done something wrong?
She grows on you, Connor said. And if I had to be enslaved for life with someone, I'm glad it's her.
Have you enjoyed your stay with us so far?
Trollbella asked.
Not really, Connor said. Was she kidding or just stupid?
We'd really like to get out of here if you could help us,
Alex said.
I'm not talking to you,
Trollbella yelled at Alex. She then turned her head slowly and smiled at Connor.
I may be able to give you freedom in exchange for something else.
What's that?
Connor said. Both of the twins would have been on the edge of their seats if they weren't on a dirty dungeon floor.
A kiss,
Trollbella said, staring passionately at Connor. Connor gulped.
Well, I guess we're going to be slaves forever.
Trollbella frowned. Alex hit Connor upside the head.
Kiss her, you idiot, and then we'll get out of here,
Alex said.
Don't hit my butter boy,
Trollbella said.
And I never said I would let you go. I only said I'll let him go.
I think he'd be more inclined if you promised to let both of us go, Alex said.
No, I wouldn't. Please don't speak on my behalf,
Connor chimed in, but neither of them was listening to him. Trollbella's nostrils flared up. She didn't like negotiating. She turned around and disappeared without saying a word.
Way to go, Connor, Alex said. That may have been our only chance to escape.
There's no way I'm kissing that, Connor said. Freedom or no freedom, you're asking way too much of me.
The twins both jumped back from the cell door. Trollbella had quickly returned with a key. She was ready to make a deal.
Pucker up, butter boy,
Trollbella said, and pushed her head up against the bars of the cell door.
I can't do this. I physically can't do this, Connor said.
Do you ever want to see home again?
Alex asked him. Connor looked as if he were about to vomit and cry at the same time. At a snail's pace, he approached Trollbella with his lips extended. He wasn't going fast enough for Alex, so she pushed him toward the cell door, and Trollbella grabbed hold of him through the bars. She planted a big, fat, juicy kiss on him.
Bleh!
Connor said, breaking away from her. He was wiping his mouth manically and gasping for air. Trobella had a huge, satisfied grin on her face. "That was the worst thing you have ever done to me," Connor said, pointing at Alex, feeling completely betrayed. "How could you?" "All right, Trobella," said Alex, ignoring her brother's dramatics. "A deal's a deal. Let us go." Trobella's smile dropped into a scowl. She reluctantly unlocked the cell door and opened it. And as she did, Alex caught sight of the other slaves in the dungeon. The few that were awake had been silently and intently staring at the twins. They had never seen anyone be freed before. They hadn't thought it was possible.
"You're free to go," Trobella said.
The twins briskly walked out of the cell, but as Alex passed Trobella, she swiftly grabbed the key and pushed the troll princess into the cell, slamming the door behind her.
"Let me out of here right now," Trobella screamed. "This wasn't part of the deal."
"I can't leave without the others," Alex said. She ran around unlocking the doors on all the cells.
"Everyone wake up. We're getting out of here. Come on."
She ran over to the pile of waste on the other side of the room and retrieved all their things.
"Guards!"
Trobella howled.
"Guards! The slaves are escaping!"
"Trobella," Connor said, "please be quiet. Would you do that? Please? For your butter boy?" Trobella blushed.
"All right, butter boy. For you, I'll be quiet."
The slaves all stirred to life. It took them a moment to understand what Alex was saying. They had dreamed about this day for so long. Many eagerly jumped up and left their cells, but others hesitated, including the traveling tradesman.
"Come on," Alex said. "What are you waiting for?"
"Are you too mad? They'll skin us alive if we try to escape,"
the tradesman said. This worried some of the others, especially the children.
"Would you rather die in your cell or die trying to get back the life they stole from you?"
Alex said. Alex's words must have inspired them, because they all gathered around her. Even the tradesman was willing to take a chance for freedom. He nodded at Alex as he joined the group.
"Does anyone know the best way out of here?"
Alex asked.
"We need to get to the tunnels," a man said.
"Yes, the tunnels,"
a woman agreed.
"How do we get there?" Connor asked.
"We'll go up to the common room and pass the stone arch. The trolls and goblins have built tunnels leading to every kingdom. That's how they get around," the tradesman said.
"Do we need to worry about anyone catching us?" Connor asked.
"They're all asleep by now,"
Trobella said with a sigh from her cell.
"Even the guards. That's why no one came when I called."
"All right, let's go,"
Alex said.
"Everyone be as quiet as possible and help the older and younger ones in the group."
Everyone nodded, and Alex led the way out of the dungeon, praying it would be the last time any of them were ever in this room again.
"Until we meet again, butter boy,"
Trobella said, and blew Connor a kiss.
"Whatever,"
Connor said, and then followed the others out of the dungeon. Trobella smiled from horn to horn. This had been the most exciting day of her entire life. The group of escapees traveled up the tunnel to the common room and snuck past a line of goblin guards. Just as Trobella had said, they were asleep while standing guard. They finally reached the common room and covered their mouths in horror at what they saw. All the trolls and goblins that Alex and Connor had seen carousing on the way in were spread across the floor, passed out. How were they going to get to the other side of the room without stepping on one of them? Some were snoring, others twitched in their sleep. Even the Troll King and the Goblin King were sleeping in their thrones. You could barely see the floor between the unconscious monsters sprawled across the room.
"Quickly and quietly," Alex whispered to the group. "We can do this. Just be as careful as possible."
They began tiptoeing around the sleeping creatures. Carefully, they put their feet between the monster's spread-out limbs, between the broken plates and goblets across the dirt floor, and between the knocked-over chairs and tables. Every time a troll or goblin made any noise or movement, everyone froze. Their hearts stopped for a moment. If any of the monsters were to wake up and see their slaves walking through the room toward the exit, it would be a disaster. They were almost at the stone tunnel. Alex stopped in the middle of the room and made sure everyone passed her safely and that no one was left behind. Eventually, everyone had made it except her brother, who remained very still in the back of the room. He was staring at the Troll King and the Goblin King with wide eyes and an open mouth.
"Connor, what are you doing?"
Alex asked in her loudest whisper.
"Look,"
he mouthed, only a little whisper coming out.
"Look at the crown. It's the crown."
Alex looked up at the stone crown above the Troll King and Goblin King's heads.
What about it?
Alex whispered.
It's the crown for the wishing spell, Connor said. A stony crown that's made to share, found deep within a savage lair.
Alex could feel her heart beating in her throat. Connor was right. It fit the description perfectly.
What are you two doing? We're waiting for you,
the tradesman said from the stone tunnel. Alex and Connor looked at each other. They knew they couldn't leave without the crown.
Go ahead without us,
Alex said.
Suit yourselves,
the tradesman said, and then left with the others down the stone tunnel.
I'm going to get it,
Connor whispered to Alex.
Be careful,
Alex said. Connor slowly moved through the room. He accidentally kicked a goblet, and it made a loud ding, causing a few of the trolls and goblins to twitch in their sleep.
Sorry,
Connor mouthed to Alex. He climbed up onto the throne platform. The crown was pretty high up. He would have to climb up onto the thrones to get it. He climbed onto the armrest of the Troll King's throne. His left leg was so close to the king's face that Connor could feel the king's warm breath through his jeans. Connor swung his right leg onto the armrest of the Goblin King's throne and reached up for the crown. It was still too high. He would have to jump for it. Alex had to cover her eyes. Her hands were trembling. Connor jumped and tried to grab the crown, but he was just a few inches too short. He jumped again. The tips of his fingers touched it this time. He jumped once more, this time the highest jump yet, and grabbed it. Unfortunately, on his way down, he missed the armrest and landed right in the lap of the Goblin King.
Ah!
The Goblin King screamed. Alex took her hands from her face just in time to see her terrified brother sprawled across the Goblin King's lap. With the crown held tightly in his hands, Connor jumped up and ran as fast as he could, grabbing his sister's arm on the way toward the exit.
After them!
The Goblin King ordered.
Someone grab them!
The entire room of trolls and goblins began waking up to the Goblin King's yells. Alex and Connor weren't careful about what or who they stepped on. They ran straight through the common room and down the tunnel of stones. Dozens of trolls and goblins chased after them. The twins ran past the two horrible statues at the tunnel's entrance. The goblin statue suddenly crashed to the ground just as they passed it, blocking the tunnel. Alex screamed. Had they been a second later, it would have fallen on them. They turned to see the tradesman, out of breath and holding his heart. He had just knocked over the statue and blocked the tunnel. The trolls and goblins had reached the end of the tunnel and were struggling to get past the fallen statue.
That should keep them busy for a while, the tradesman said. Now run!
Where's everyone else?
Alex asked.
They fled to the tunnels. They're safe,
he said.
What about you?
Alex asked.
I couldn't leave without you, the tradesman said. I'm old, children. I'd never outrun them anyway. You two still have a lot of living to do, so run before they get past the statue. Hurry.
We're not leaving without you, Alex said.
I'm wanted in every kingdom, the tradesman said between deep breaths. No matter where I go, I'll end up behind bars. I've done a lot of bad things in my day, children. I've made a lot of trades and deals that I shouldn't have. I deserve this. You don't. Now run.
Alex's and Connor's feet moved before their minds could decide whether to stay any longer. They ran ahead and found a series of tunnels leading in different directions. Each had a sign above the entrance that said where the tunnel led to.
Come on,
Alex said, and grabbed Connor's arm, pulling him into the tunnel that said Fairy Kingdom above it. They tucked the troll and goblin crown safely away in Alex's bag.
Did we do the right thing?
Alex asked Connor as they ran down the tunnel.
Should we have left him?
He wasn't going to come with us. His mind was made up,
Connor said. He knew they had done everything they could, but he still felt guilty too.
How could a stranger give up so much for us?
Alex said.
Maybe he thought trading his freedom for ours would be the only honest trade he'd ever make, Connor said.